Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
Purdue rallied for a win over Iowa on Saturday, getting big plays from offense, defense, and special teams in the final minutes of a 24-20 victory. We'll break it all down, plus look ahead to Illinois in week two. That's coming up on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charters, Tom Dienhart, Brian Newbert here in just a couple of minutes. Tom, let's talk a little bit of football. The Boilermakers in Ross-Ade Stadium on Saturday came from behind. Aiden O'Connell again rallying the Boilermakers as he has done in the past. Purdue gets the touchdown there with a couple of minutes to go and then gets a defensive stop at the end, mix in a field goal a couple of minutes before the touchdown, and it was a pretty good last few minutes by Purdue.
Yeah, I mean, what a way to finish, right? Something you can build on for Purdue. Now, first time they've started 1-0 since 2016 when you were covering the team. They beat Eastern Kentucky that year, of course. The final year of the Darryl Hazel era. So trying to go 2-0 for the first time, I believe, since 2007, my friend, when they started 5-0 that year during a Motor City Bowl season. So, again, plenty to build upon. Nathan O'Connell, like you alluded to, Kyle, continues to add to that comeback legacy. 3-0, of course, engineering one against Nebraska last year in addition to Northwestern. Now he adds this comeback to his resume. And, again, there's a lot to like about what happened on Saturday on both sides of the ball.
I think that was the last time Purdue was ranked. Hello, I'm here. Sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened. I clicked off for a second. Can you hear me now?
I got you, buddy.
Okay. I jumped over to my mic turned off here. 2007, that was the last time I think they were ranked, unless there was some time that they jumped in the poll here in the last a dozen years or so. So let's see. Purdue, by the way, receiving votes now. So the defense gets that stop. I mean, I thought that was, you know, as noteworthy, I guess, because there have been so many games, Tom, that we have watched in which Purdue has done that only to give the lead back up in the final seconds. It's pretty impressive what it was able to do.
Yeah, to finish the deal for the defense to come out and get that one last stop, of course, like you said, defense has had its issues in recent years, among them getting off the field in critical situations, not just the end of the game situations where you're trying to again, ice a win, but on third downs. And also, Kyle, I thought the defense did a great job not allowing big plays. You know, that's been a bugaboo.
Yeah.
Of late as well. They did a good job really truncating, nipping those in the butt. Iowa, I think, had a 40-yard pass, Kyle, but that was sort of a wheel route. Tyler Goodson out of the backfield. Not many breakdowns. And also, Kyle, the tackling by Purdue I thought was good. Pro Football Focus, I believe, had Purdue just for 6 missed tackles. Pretty impressive for a first time out against a physical Iowa team as well. And don't forget about this too, Kyle, turnovers, buddy.
Yeah.
Purdue got 2 of them, and of course, no turnover was bigger Saturday than the one, you know, as Iowa was headed toward pay dirt apparently, and Dedrick Mackey got the strip. Cam Allen made the recovery to get the ball back to Purdue, which was losing 20-17 at the time. Purdue goes down the field, of course, scores the touchdown, and gets the lead. And what a big moment there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty evident that Purdue had been working on stripping footballs. I mean, it, as they were tackling. I mean, we just did not – was it last year, Tom, or the year before that they did not create a fumble for weeks, right? I mean,
they didn't
create any. There weren't even any to pick up off the ground. There were none that they were creating. And, you know, to be able to do that, it seemed pretty evident that that's something that they really, really emphasized during training camp, and it was good to see it come up on Saturday. You know, there were a lot of reasons why Purdue should have lost to this game. A, it was the underdog. B, it was without its head coach. C, it was without its best player. D, it was without some other key players. I mean, it's a pretty good credit to Brian Brohm, to Jeff Brohm, the rest of that staff, and then Purdue's players as well, that it was able to go out there and get a win.
Yeah, it's always about responding to adversity. I always think of the Mike Tyson quote, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. Well, Kyle Perdue got punched in the face about five times before kickoff, right? He talked about the scenarios, the situations they had to overcome from Brohm's absence to Moore's absence. Marty Biaggi, of course, too, the special teams coach, wasn't there. King Daru, the number one tailback. On and on it goes. Purdue had every excuse in the book that could have laid out there if they lost this game. But instead, it responded and rose above that adversity. And that shows you a lot about the mettle of a team, the leadership of a team as well. So, it's something, like I said, you can build on moving forward here. And I will say this, Kyle, since we're in the media, we can always look way ahead. 2-0, going to Champaign next week. Looks like it may be doable, given the fact the Illini are coming off a 45-7 thumping at Wisconsin in their opener.
Yeah, and they didn't look very good in that game. They didn't even look 48-7 or whatever it was good in that game. So Rondo Moore was out, and that was an unusual circumstance. Last week on Friday, Purdue announces that he's out without really any more details than that. Any idea what to expect? I know we'll talk to Jeff Brohm here in a little less than an hour. Do you think we'll find out anything more about Moore's status for this week and for the rest of the season?
I'm not sure. Actually, we'll ask. Obviously, I asked Brian Brohm even after the game on Saturday, and he, of course, deferred to Jeff. He said that question should be directed to Jeff. He'll handle it. Like you said, the announcement came out Friday, undisclosed reasons. There have been some murmurs that Moore had gotten dinged up in training camp. Kyle maybe re-aggravated that hamstring. We'll have to stay tuned and see if we get an update this week. Of course, he was on the sideline. We all saw it Saturday. Looked healthy, looked fit. So, what a weapon that would be to get him back. Mix him with that other wideout they've got, David Bell, who I was never going to figure out how to cover, right? Seems like he has 100 catches against him in 2 years. So everybody wants to see what this attack would look like with a fully charged up Moore and a fully charged up David Bell and Aiden O'Connell throwing to him. I mean, the possibilities seem very tantalizing.
How does Iowa lose him on third down? I mean, O'Connell targeted him 21 times, almost half of his passes. How does he get that wide open on a third and whatever, third and five from the six or whatever it was? It's crazy.
Yeah. Very vexing. You know, Milton Wright had a good game opposite David Bell, the sophomore from Louisville. How about Xander Horvath? How about those hops? He got better as the game went along. Purdue's offensive line, Kyle, credit there, right? That was a big emphasis in the offseason. Purdue knew it had to run the ball better this year. So far, so good. They played, I believe, 10 offensive linemen, if you can believe it, and got a good push. That they got some heavy sets late in the game, a double tight end sets for Horvath with Payne Durham and Garrett Miller on the field. Alfred Armour was out there on occasion as a fullback. So, again, they amped up, and Horvath had over 100 yards. Kyle, heck, does King Drew get his job back when he returned? That's two 100-yard games in a row for Horvath going back to the finale against IU last year.
Yeah, he was really good. So here's my question for you. Let's talk a little bit about the job that Brian Brohm did on Saturday with managing the situation and also then his play calling. You know, I thought he was really good. I had some, I don't even know if concern is the right word, but some question about, you know, sort of the difference between him personality-wise and Jeff, and whether his laid-back, sort of more quiet demeanor would play well as the acting head coach and being on the sideline. Here's my question, though. So if Jeff Brohm is calling the plays in this game, does Purdue abandon the run?
That's a great question. I'm sure Jeff had conversations with him as far as philosophy goes. I have no idea. You know, I will say this. Go back. I mean, Purdue threw 50 times, Kyle, only ran it, I believe, 31. I don't know. That's interesting to note. Because, again, down the stretch, Horvath's runs, especially on that last drive, were really key. So, yeah, I'm not sure. Again, you always want that some run-pass balance. Purdue's never going to be totally run-heavy, but you have to have that semblance, that presence, that ability to run the football, especially, buddy, on those money downs, the third and shorts, the fourth and shorts, and they converted some real key third and shorts late in that ballgame, including the fourth and short late on that winning drive.
I just think it's a good question whether Jeff Brown would have stuck with the run. I mean, years ago, I think I asked him whether it pains him to have to call running plays, and he sort of admitted that it did. And, you know, there have been times where he's jumped away from it. I just think that Brian Brohm stuck with the game plan, especially on that last drive, which I just thought was called really well. Might have turned out to be the difference there in the last couple of minutes. We're working under the assumption that Jeff Brohm will be back this week, right, and then back on the sideline on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I believe if his quarantine started, that the clock started, so to speak, on Saturday, going into last week, 10 days from then, would make it Wednesday, I believe. So we'll find out today if he's still on track to come back again. It would figure to be midweek here, like I said, maybe Wednesday. He could actually be back in the office. And, Brian Brohm said he's chomping at the bit to get back. It had to drive him crazy staying at home watching everything unfold at home. At least it was a nice outcome, but still, as a head coach, you want to be in control, have your hands on your team. And again, it had to be maddening for him to witness that.
Yeah. All right, so who was your week one MVP?
You know, I'm going to go with Horvath, I think. You talked about the importance of keeping some semblance of the ground game. I know David Bell was spectacular, but I just think without Horvath's effort there, I think 129 yards rushing, most of those coming in the second half, helped open up that pass game, I think, and kept that Iowa defense a little off balance. But, you know, Brian Brohm said after the game, Kyle, Iowa was daring them to run the football there in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter. Brian Brohm obliged them. He ran the football, and the line stepped up, and Horvath delivered too. So football is always one up front, buddy. You got to run the ball. I don't care how great your quarterback is. You got to run the football, and they were able to do that. So give me Horvath with the biggest assist in that offensive line.
Yeah. It's hard to get away from David Bell. I mean, 13 for 126 or whatever it was and three touchdowns. His numbers against Iowa in 2 years are ridiculous, to say the least. I mean, man, what a good player he is. Illinois did not look very good on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, pick a side of the ball. They really struggled offensively. Boy, you can go on and on. They have a veteran offensive line, a veteran quarterback. Defensively, though, I think that's where I was most disappointed. That's Lovie Smith's side of the ball, right? And we're about 4 years deep into that tenure, and the defense doesn't seem like it's gotten much better. They generated a lot of turnovers last year, and that really fueled their success. And if they don't pick that pace back up again, it's going to be another long year in Champaign. They can forget about going back to a bowl. So defensively, I think they're going to have a hard time trying to slow down Purdue if we see that same balanced offense that we saw Saturday from the Boilermakers.
Yeah. All right, Tom, thank you. We'll look forward to finding out more from what you hear from Jeff Brohm here in just a couple of minutes.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Brian Huber, talk a little bit more football. We'll do that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, sell, upsize, downsize, anything else, give me a call or text 765-412-5217. You can email kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chops, salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal. And a warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. Gridiron Metal Works is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor, branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for, and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com. Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. Hey, Kyle here with Brian, talking a little bit of football, coming off the Boilermakers' victory against Iowa on Saturday. Brian, a lot of positives from that game. What stood out to you?
Yeah, a lot of things, obviously. Obviously, you know, Purdue, as Tom said in the first segment, you know, had every reason to lose this game. They had, you know, circumstances once again kind of piled on the Boilermakers, and for them to, you know, come back in the fourth quarter when the way the game unfolded, you were still in a position where, you know, it was, you were in kind of a compromising position there. For them to rally back the way they did on both sides of the ball, you know, under the circumstances, was really, 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 really a positive step, seeming like the sort of thing, as I've said a couple times here in the last 72 hours or 48 hours, whatever it is, the sort of thing that can really kind of bring a team together and kind of springboard them forward. But I think, you know, for as great as David Bell was, for as great as Xander Horvath was, I think everything you could have wanted from the first showing for the defense was there. I mean, they made the plays they needed to make. They were pretty good all day long. Iowa got its rhythm there for a while in the first half. Seemed like it had Purdue on a string a little bit. Purdue really, really reasserted itself in the second half, whether that was, you know, the proverbial second half adjustments, whatever it may be. I just think Purdue's new system gave Iowa a lot of problems at the line of scrimmage. And on both sides of the ball, you know, I think Purdue was pretty good at the line of scrimmage. And when you beat Iowa at the line of scrimmage, you're doing something really right. And Purdue was good in the defensive front, and I think Purdue was good in the offensive front. And, you know, as Tom mentioned, they played 10 offensive linemen, and I think a lot of their young offensive linemen is a really positive thing. So for them to steady themselves kind of in the face of circumstance there spoke to a lot of substance in this team. And for them to be so good at the, or so competitive, if not so good, at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, I think that was a really, really positive indicator kind of moving forward. Because when you start off with Iowa and you beat them at the line of scrimmage, that bodes really well for the rest of your schedule, because Iowa is typically one of the gold standards for physical line of scrimmage play.
Yeah, just following up on what you said defensively, I liked a lot of what Purdue did. Now, it did give up some yards, but when you create turnovers and you only allow 20 points, I think you have a lot of good things to take away from that. I thought the secondary, even though there were some of the same guys in the secondary, I thought it was much more physical than what we have seen in recent seasons. And I like some of the, what I felt like were adjustments, and, you know, maybe that's too strong a word, but on that last drive, George Karloff is playing a little bit inside, which, you know, matched him up against a guard that just is not fast enough to be able to block him. And it helped him get to the quarterback, at least on that second down. I just thought there were things that you could pick out in there that the defense did really well, that's bodes well for the rest of the season. Before the year started, we probably, what, projected Purdue maybe as a five-win team in a nine-week season, you know, perhaps six, knowing, too, that maybe that could turn the other direction depending on circumstance, like your head coach being out or your best player. What does the win Saturday change anything that you think about what Purdue could be this year?
Well, yeah, kind of one more point to make about the defense. You know, they tackled really well. And for a first game, especially off a non-traditional offseason, that was a really positive sign. But also the way they kind of attacked the ball, the way they were constantly going at the ball, knocking out two fumbles by sheer effort. You know, they seem to play with a lot of energy. They seem to play with a lot of enthusiasm. They seem to play really hard. That's a really positive thing right out of the gate. When Purdue gave up a couple of big plays, no game-breaker type plays, but when they gave up big plays, it was because Iowa made the right play at the right time. It wasn't because guys were out of position or guys were blowing assignments or whatever it may be. And that's what you worry about in the first game under a new system, especially with, you know, as dysfunctional as this offseason was. So to take that, to transition that into your question, one of my biggest questions for Purdue was the defense, obviously. I know that's awful broad, but if Purdue can, you know, be okay defensively all season long, looking at their schedule being what it is, as manageable as it is, looking at the weapons you have on offense, and an offense that's only going to get more loaded as this season goes on, when you get Rondell Moore back, all of this stuff, when you get Kingaroo back and whatnot. If the defense is solid, the offense should be able to score enough points for you to be pretty good all season long. You know, one of my other big questions, obviously, was the quarterback position. Aiden O'Connell wasn't perfect in this first game. You know, through three quarters, I thought he was pretty average, actually. But obviously, he has shown he's a gamer. And, you know, the fourth quarter, once again, was his best quarter. And if Purdue just gets solid and timely quarterback play the way they got Saturday, and a pretty solid defense all season long, and what we saw from Purdue on both sides of the ball at the line of scrimmage is something closer to reality than not, I don't see any reason why this team can't go on to have a pretty good season.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned Aiden O'Connell. It's now three times in his career that he's helped lead Purdue back. And that's a short runway that he's done that. What does he have? I mean, what's going on here? It seems like, as you said, he plays his best in the fourth quarter, and he has played his best when Purdue has been up against the wall a little bit. He's needed to rally them. It's pretty impressive for a guy who came in with very little accolades, very few offers, if any, and just has won the job outright.
Yeah, he got a lot of help, too. You know, David Bell was unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. You know, Xander Horvath was really, really good. The offensive line was really, really good when it mattered most. The catch Jared Sparks made on third and six before Xander Horvath, it was third and seven. He made a six-yard catch. The ball was way behind him, and he caught it behind him, mm-hmm. falling down for 6 yards on third and seven. Xander Horvath then picks up the fourth and one. That was an unbelievable catch Jared Sparks made. And, you know, if he doesn't make that catch, if that's an incompletion, all of a sudden you're in fourth and seven, and you probably don't win this game. You know, he got a lot of help, but he seems to make all the throws when he has to make the throws. When the game is on the line, you know, he has a funny way of it working out. Prior to that, you know, game to me was just the missed opportunities, because it was three O'Connell throws that really put Purdue in a position where this game, you know, was going to go sideways on him, because the ball to Payne Durham that was picked in the red zone was off his back shoulder. The interception board mm-hmm. before the half set up Iowa's 3 points when Purdue could have had 3 points. And then the missed David Bell early in the game for what would have been like yeah. the 80-yard touchdown or whatever it was. That's what I mean when I say he wasn't perfect up until that point, to the point where I kind of wondered, you know, perhaps if Jeff Brohm was there, perhaps he would have made a change. I don't know. But, again, you have to give Aiden O'Connell ultimate credit for when he has to make the throw, when he has to make the play, he makes it. And but you also have mm-hmm. to give the rest of the offense credit, because they had a lot of different things rolling, and they made a lot of big plays to help him out.
Yeah. How good is David Bell?
He's unbelievable. I mean, he's – you know, you just look at him, and you don't necessarily – who's going to run past everyone or just overpower everyone, mm-hmm. but he's unstoppable. He's just such a good wide receiver. He knows how to get open. He has unbelievable ball skills. He has unbelievably strong hands. He's just phenomenal. He's just a really, really good wide receiver. He just knows how to play the position. He knows how to get open, and he knows yeah. how to make plays. It's just, I mean, I don't know how else to put it. He's just really, really good. And the first time I saw him play live in a high school game, I said, that guy has it, whatever it is, to make him a star. And, you know, as long as he's healthy, he is that guy. He is an absolute star.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right in that he, you know, I don't think that any one thing, like he's not going to – you don't feel like he's just going to run past you necessarily. But, man, all that other stuff, the hand strength, the ability to make the 50-50 balls and turn them into 80-20 balls. You know, it was shocking yeah. that he missed the one that he was wide open. I think, and I speculated on Twitter, that maybe he lost. It wasn't a great throw, but I think, you know, it's one that he often comes up with anyway. I think maybe he lost that ball from the sun to the shade there when the in Ross-Ade Stadium that time of day, there's some pretty good shadows out there. But the fact that we were so shocked that he missed it, and then, you know, he just makes everything else, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah. All right, man. Thank you.
Yep, no problem.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that coming up next on Gold and Black Radio. The podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there's never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never have to think about refinancing again. Set it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you are guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler Compliment a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kcompliment, K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, equal access lender, licensed in more than 40 states, www.jfqlending.com.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Be sure to check out goldandblack.com. There'll be much more following Jeff Brohm's press conference on this Monday morning as Purdue heads into Illinois week, the Boilermakers in Champaign on Saturday. We'll have a pregame for that, of course. It'll drop for you however you listen to your podcasts. About, mid-morning on Friday, so be sure to look for that. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. Thanks to our sponsors, as always. For Tom Deanhart and Brian Ubert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.